Well, we have no shortage of riches to mine here in the scriptures we have today. An embarrassment of riches, we might say. I know that especially the daily mass goers hear me say this all the time. There's just so much. We can't cover it all. And there's actually tons of different options for Thanksgiving, so we've distilled it down here. But the gospel is, in a way, it's almost kind of, we're here to give thanks to God. The gospel is kind of a critique on the reality that oftentimes we don't give thanks to God. So we have these 10 lepers, and they're crying out to Jesus, from afar, because you're not supposed to come close to anybody when you're a leper. Even though in this case, Jesus doesn't touch them, but he's not afraid to come near them at all. But they're kind of following the rules. And so all 10 of them are healed. But the only one that comes back is a Samaritan, a hated enemy of the Jews. And the 10 Jew, or the 9 Jewish guys, just are kind of like, they must have been like, oh, that's pretty cool. Party time, whatever. We can go back into society now. That's awesome. But they don't return. And so we're meant to see ourselves, both sides of the coin. I mean, yes, we do. Obviously, all of you came to give thanks to the Lord today. So, I mean, that's awesome. Many people are at home watching football, doing their thing, and that's fine. But you took an hour out of your day to come and be with the Lord. But these other 9 are also emblematic of what happens to us sometimes. Jesus is constantly lavishing us with these gifts. He's constantly healing us, nourishing us, leading us closer to him if we just say yes and allow him in. But oftentimes we don't even realize what he's doing for us. We don't take time to reflect in the silence of our hearts, in our prayer. Sometimes we skip prayer. And so then we don't realize what the Lord does. But even sometimes when we do, even sometimes you might leave Mass on today or maybe on a Sunday and just go right back into life as normal, right? Okay, that's great. I fulfilled my obligation and now, I'm going to do whatever. What about taking time to thank Jesus before you leave the church? I know you got your friends and you want to talk to people and you got stuff that's going on. But what about just taking a few minutes to thank the Lord for all that he's done? And then you're going to realize more and more what he has done. The more we thank him, the more our hearts and especially our eyes are open to see what he's doing for us. And then we're overwhelmed with gratitude and it becomes a beautiful, virtuous cycle. That's what we're meant to do. In the old church, back in the first centuries after Christ died, people would stay sometimes for hours after church and they would boldly ask God for miracles and all kinds of other healings and just praise the Lord. And guess what happened? A lot of wonderful miracles, a lot of things happen because they trusted in the Lord and they stayed there and they realized this Eucharist, this is the greatest possible gift we can receive. And I need you so much, Lord. And so I'm confident and unafraid to reach out and ask you for this healing. So it's a reminder for us. We receive all kinds of gifts. The Eucharist is the ultimate gift, but it's a reminder that we'll do well to take a little bit of time and give the Lord thanks. Now, of course, this first reading is from Sirach, the book of Sirach, and it's all about Thanksgiving, right? Just listen to the beautiful words that we hear. Now, bless the God of all who has done wondrous things on earth. He's created every single one of us. He's given us all kinds of blessings. He's given us this church. He's given us our families, all the people that are here. He's just constantly giving. He's never going to be outdone in generosity. So it's this God who's done wondrous things on earth, who fosters people's growth from their mother's womb and fashions them according to his will. May he grant you joy of heart and may peace abide among you. That's what God wants for us. And the more we thank him, again, the more we step into this virtuous cycle, the more his peace controls our hearts and the joy, his joy, the supernatural joy of God dwells within us. May his goodness toward us endure in Israel, we can say in Bozeman, to deliver us in our days. This great love, this great trust, this great outreach of the heart to the Lord, kind of like St. Therese says, prayer is just a cry of the heart to the Lord. That's what's going on here with Sirach. And now remember, this is Old Testament. This is before the Eucharist. This is before Jesus. And Ben Sirach or whoever it is, Solomon, we don't know exactly who the author was, but a heart bursting with love and reaching for deeper relationship with the Lord. That's how we're meant to live. That's the best way to live. I can't help but think I actually started to step into it. Some of you that have come to confession, one of my favorite passages of all time, it was on my priestly ordination card, is Corinthians chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. Let the peace of Christ control your heart and be thankful. And let the word of God dwell in you richly. That thankfulness is the key. And many of you have heard me emphasize that. And by the way, I need it too. I'm not trying to say that I'm perfect at this. We need reminders to thank God and to step back and reflect and just to realize how generous He is and how blessed we are. The responsorial, so this is from Psalm 145. As we get to the end, especially the last five Psalms of the Psalter, just praise, praise, praise the Lord. It's really wonderful. 145 to 150. And we see that. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, highly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. His treasury of riches that He lavishes upon us is unsearchable. It's unquenchable. It's not like the Lord is ever going to run out. He's always giving, and we're always meant to receive. Generation after generation praises Him. We hear they speak of the splendor of your glorious majesty. Just wonderful, wonderful praise of the Lord. Second reading is right from the beginning of 1 Corinthians. A wonderful passage, and right at the beginning, we have grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I use that as the greeting. I know it kind of caught you off guard because it's not one of the more frequently used ones, but I thought I'd incorporate a little, little of the liturgy of the word in there. But that's how Paul starts a lot of his letters. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he's giving thanks. He's giving thanks to God on your account. He's speaking to the Corinthians, but it's for us too. For the grace God has bestowed on you in Christ Jesus. I mean, this is the amazing grace that God has bestowed on us in Christ Jesus. It's not cheap grace, it's amazing grace, transforming grace. That in Him you were enriched in every way, with all discourse and all knowledge. Notice Paul says, in Him, that in Jesus, all of us the baptized, we live this life in and through Jesus. Or at least that's how we're meant to live. So the grace bestowed on us in Christ Jesus, first and foremost, he's pointing at the baptismal grace. So we're baptized in Him, so we're enriched in every way. We're given all of the grace that we need, with all discourse and all knowledge, as the testimony to Christ was confirmed among you. And hopefully the testimony to Christ is confirmed among us too. Hopefully people say, hey, you know, look at that person. That's a Christian, and I know it, but just because how they live and how they love and just how they conduct themselves. Doesn't mean you have to wear a shirt that says Jesus freak, you know, but people should know that we're Christians, right? They're like, there's something different about the amidst all the things that are going on. This person lives differently. This person has a peace and joy that's just marvelous amidst sorrows. Something different. That's what Paul's getting at here. Some of these people were probably, you know, proclaiming with their lips, but for the most part, it's how they live. So that, yeah, as the testimony to Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not lacking in any spiritual gifts. As long as we receive them, God, again, He's so generous. He's always lavishing us with His gifts. We just have to say yes. Keep saying yes. Keep our hearts open. When we say yes, we have to remember that things are going to get a little uncomfortable from time to time. You know, God's going to lead us out of our sin. There's going to be some transformation. So it's not going to be all sugar plums and lollipops necessarily, but it's going to be a good and wonderful life. Then we're not going to be lacking in any spiritual gift as long as we don't frustrate God's amazing grace. Keep Him out of our hearts, out of fear. As you await the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this, we've been reflecting on this for weeks now. At the end of the liturgical year, we focus more and more on the end times. That the liturgical year is shaped that way. Not to scare us, but just to give us actually more and more confidence in our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe. We celebrated Christ the King Sunday. We didn't separate ourselves from Christ. We drew closer, hopefully. He will keep you firm to the end, irreproachable on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why you hear me fairly frequently saying, okay, the end of the world's coming. We don't know when, but who cares? You know, I say it kind of flippantly, but it's true. Like, who cares? Because He will keep you firm to the end, irreproachable. Just got to say yes. You got to say thanks, Lord. Thank you for all your gifts. thank you, thank you, thank you. It opens us up to His grace, and it opens up the horizons of our lives in so many wonderful and beautiful ways. And so I just encourage you, brothers and sisters, you're going to have fun with family and friends, and you should. I'm not trying to detract from that at all. But do it in and through the Lord, like Paul is saying. We're meant to live in Him, in and through Him. Just be a solid Christian today and every day, giving Him thanks for your family, for your friends, for all of the blessings that you have. Let us never cease to praise Him and give Him thanks. And you know what will happen, just like in the early church when all those wonderful things happened after Mass? Well, wonderful things happened when they left the church too. Christianity exploded, right? It went from this little tiny group that was around Jesus to, you know, the whole Western world. This can happen again. You know, we have an increasing secularization in our society. All we need to do is just say yes and go out and be those bright lights that He called us to be. We can and we will light this place on fire with His holy love. And not just this place, but beyond. So let us give thanks. Let us allow the Lord to operate in and through us so that we can be filled with His peace and joy and help all of the people around us to do the same.